Welcome to Reach Deep.
1-4.
Here's Hughes, top of the point, shoots and scores! Come all without, come all within. You've not seen nothing like the mighty Quinn.
The People Show.
If you turn it up, I'll turn it up. You know what I mean? We turn it up a notch.
On the radio home of your Vancouver Canucks.
Here's JT Miller down the right wing into the LA zone. In front for Pettersson, he scores! Elias Pettersson to the rescue for the Canucks.
Sportsnet 650.
Unfriggin' believable. Unbelievable.
Broadcasting live from their homes, here are your hosts Dan Riccio and Randy Janda.
Happy, happy Friday, Vancouver. It is Reach Deep in the morning here for James and Perry for the final time this week. They'll be back next week. We'll be back in our regular time slot, 1-4 on Sportsnet 650. Hope you've enjoyed us here in the morning, and you can now start joining us. If you're new to Reach Deep Nation, you can start joining us through the afternoons as Randy. We are on the eve of the Canucks beginning a playoff-like series. I can't call it the playoffs. It's a playoff-like series for the first time in 5 years.
It's about to go down, Reach. We're not too far away now. Sunday, game one. Right here on Sportsnet 650, there's going to be a lot of coverage. You heard the exciting announcement yesterday, Ed Jovanovski, Yannick Hansen joining our playoff coverage. But on top of that, Sunday, pretty much a full day of coverage coming for you.
Yeah, and it's going to be real exciting. 7:30, it is the puck drop between the Canucks and Wild for Game 1 here on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks. 5:30 pregame with Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah. You'll hear from Ed Jovanovski. You'll hear from Yannick Hansen. Exclusive game day comments from Travis Green, the coach of your Vancouver Canucks, as we are your home for all things Vancouver Canucks as they come up on this series against the Minnesota Wild. So we started the week asking if we'll end up getting noise complaints as we do our shows from home here at these ungodly hours, 6 a.m. But Randy, have you had any noise complaints?
I have not yet. It may happen today because, listen, this is a pre-playoff game, qualifier, whatever you want to call it. So it might be a little bit more amped today, but I haven't had any yet.
I have avoided the anger of my neighbors, I will say, but my better half, my wife, she's the one who has suffered the most hearing me wake her up at 6 a.m. And start yelling. So,
I was going to say that, though, because you're in a unique circumstance, right?
Yeah, we've
married,
got the...
it's been less than a year, but she knows what she signed up for.
She knows what she signed up for, although she didn't expect me to be morning show duty from our apartment and basically waking her up at the wee hours of the morning. But c'est la vie. Worst things could happen here. Hope you're about to enjoy your long weekend. We've got a ton of sports. NBA started up last night. Of course, we've seen Major League Baseball, though the Blue Jays have had their series postponed this weekend. And we've got Canucks hockey returning officially on Sunday and a ton of games starting tomorrow as the NHL's restart officially begins Saturday. So, Randy, we've talked a lot about the Jake Virtanen situation over the last 24 hours, but today is a day to dive in and dig in and reach deep into the elements that are going to decide the series between the Vancouver Canucks and the Minnesota Wilds. We've got a poll question going up at Sportsnet 650. Who needs to be the Canucks MVP if they are going to have success against the Wild? Markstrom, Pettersson, Hughes, Miller. Maybe it's Louis Erickson for you. I don't know. Throw it out there with a reply or in a message at 650-650 via the text line. What scares you about the Minnesota Wild? The goaltending matchup. These are some of the things that we will be breaking down throughout the morning. I will have some fun with a fill-in-the-blank as well coming up at the bottom of the hour. And also Ron McLean, of course, Hockey Night in Canada host. He'll join us after 7 o'clock. At 7:30, Wes Walls, Wild analyst, will join us. And at 8 o'clock, Todd Bertuzzi will join us to break down this series as well. Randeep, let's start with us. Who needs to be the Canucks MVP here in this series against the Minnesota Wild?
And just to remind people, the options are Markstrom, Pettersson, Hughes, Miller. I'm going with the young star, Elias Pettersson, on this one. this team will need to have and flex that advantage that it has in the top six if they are going to win. And Pettersson will have to be that difference maker. Listen, he's young, but he's got that winning pedigree dating back to Sweden. And you saw glimpses of how special he can be all year long and in that exhibition game as well. So to me, in this series, when you have to break down a team that is gritty like the Minnesota Wild, this is going to be down to Elias Pettersson to create. And he's a dynamic threat from a playmaking point of view and goal scoring. And he's got some help on that first line, but we know he's that dynamic force that can really do something special in key moments in the game. It's going to be his first taste of playoff hockey. He's wired differently. He has very high expectations for himself. And that's where I think the Canucks are going to need him to elevate his game to get past the Minnesota Wild. To me, he's the most important player on that roster.
Pettersson has got to be he's got to bring that offense, right? And he's got to be that trigger man on the power play. That is one area that the Canucks are going to have an advantage, at least the numbers from the regular season, which is eons ago, would suggest. So maybe we shouldn't read too much into that. But he's definitely a player that needs to – that the Canucks need to drive play, because the forward group is where the Canucks have the advantage. If you're looking at skaters and where the Canucks have advantages, where they don't, it's up front that they do. So they're going to need Pettersson to do that, and he's got to provide points. Like, no matter what, at the end of the day, you're a big-time forward. You are the guy that's looked at as the one that's – when the chips are down, you're the one that picks the team up off their bootstraps and gets them going again in a playoff series. Pettersson's going to be looked at that guy. Now, it's not going to be incredible pressure because this is just their first taste of a series like this, but the fingers are going to start to get pointed if the points aren't there for those players. And I think one of the big matchups in this series, Randeep, when it comes to Elias Pettersson, is the one against Joel Eriksson Ek. And we're going to talk to Wes Walls a little bit later, but we talked earlier to Sarah McClellan, who follows the Wild and is in Edmonton for this series. You know, she mentioned Eriksson Ek is going to be the guy that likely shadows Elias Pettersson through most of this series. And we talked to guys yesterday and through the week, Ed Jovanovski, Ryan Kessler has mentioned this with us, Kevin Bieksa has mentioned this with us. They're going to have somebody just making life a living hell for Elias Pettersson. And that player is going to be Joel Eriksson Ek. It's one of the major matchups of this series.
Yeah, there's going to be a target on his back in terms of just being targeted a little bit more during the playoffs. We saw it during the regular season. We saw some frustration from Pettersson, but this has been a question for me dating back months, even when the idea of the playoffs was still in the minds of people. It wasn't a reality. How does the young group deal with the pressure? And we've heard the Canucks say, hey, Hughes and Pettersson will be okay. But when you're in the moment, when you're getting hacked, when you're getting cross-checked, when you've got that constant thorn in your side in the form of Eriksson Ek or a Ryan Suter lumbering down on you, it's a different feeling. And Pettersson's wired differently. He's always looking ahead and trying to improve and wants to hit that next level. He's motivating himself consistently and constantly. But this is going to be a new challenge for him. And I think if the Canucks want to win this series, their MVP is going to have to be Elias Pettersson, based on the fact that Minnesota, to break them down, if they get good goaltending, they're not the easiest team to break down. And that's the big key here.
Yeah.
You're going to need your best offensive players in that top six who can make the difference to make that difference. And it starts with Elias Pettersson.
650-650 on the text line. Who needs to be the Canucks MVP in this series against the Wild if they are going to have success? And with Petey too, and this factors in with Brock, it factors in with Quinn Hughes, Bo Horvat. Like, these guys, they come from, as much as we haven't seen them in playoff series yet for the Canucks, really, I mean, outside of Horvat, but now he's a bigger part than he was all those years ago. The big thing about it is about some of those players, and we've talked about not only prioritizing talent, but also finding character players. All these guys have won earlier in their careers. We saw what Elias Pettersson did in the year after his draft, carrying the Växjö Lakers to a Swedish title. You had Bo Horvat winning titles in the OHL with the London Knights. You have Brock Besser winning NCAA Division I with and so you have all of these players that have had success in lower levels, and now it's their first taste of the NHL, but they do have a winning mentality, and we'll see how that translates now into the NHL perspective. For me, though, it is Quinn Hughes, and I know there's going to be people listening to me like, how can you not say Jacob Markstrom? Jacob Markstrom is essential. I think it's easy saying goaltending. If the Canucks are going anywhere, they need Jacob Markstrom to stand on his head. We know their defensive flaws, and that's an obvious thing. But with Quinn Hughes, and this is why I do believe it is Quinn Hughes, Randeep, but the biggest mismatch in this series for the Canucks is the decor. And Minnesota, you can throw their D, and this is something that we overlook often, but you could throw their top four almost against any other top four in the league, and they'll stand up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We don't talk about that often, but that's how highly I think of Ryan Suter, Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, and Matt Dumba. And even their third pair of Brad Hunt and Carson Soucy hasn't been all that bad either. So this is why, for me, Quinn Hughes is such an integral part of this series, because on D is where the Canucks, on paper, that's their biggest mismatch in this series. And depending on how Quinn Hughes does and how well he plays, that can either lessen or grow that gap. The Canucks need Quinn Hughes to be at his absolute best.
In order to put up a fight on that side of things, the defensive side of things and the pairings, Quinn Hughes is their most important player on the back end. There's no question about that. In terms of driving offense, getting the puck out of your own zone, especially in the playoffs when you're going to be hounded by those forecheckers. Marcus Foligno is going to be all up in the grill of every single Canucks defenseman. Those players that we were talking about, that gritty element. I know Minnesota is not a physically intimidating team, but just having that constant presence, you can expect them to put pressure on the Canucks defenseman. Quinn Hughes is really the only defenseman you can be super confident that he'll get the puck out just because he is that elusive. He's got that skating. So I think it's going to be understated in a lot of what he does. But listen, the points are there. But just getting the puck out of your zone, and it seems like such a basic thing. But if you've watched Canucks hockey dating back the last 5 years, you know it's not a basic thing. You know it's been tough to come by. I can understand that argument based on the fact that you're going to need this guy to beat the rush. You're going to need him to beat that forecheck that comes. I don't know if I have him at number two or number one on my MVP rankings, but I can see the importance there based on the fact that he's really the only one that can do what he does. And that's get the puck out quickly and transition and jump into the rush. Nobody else on that Canucks roster from the back end can do that.
It is wild in the sense that, you know, here he is, a rookie defenseman, and we're talking about him having this much of an impact. It speaks to how good he is. It speaks to where the Canucks D has been the last couple of years, but mostly to how good he is. It is a testament to Quinn Hughes and how much he has changed this roster and how important he is to this roster for them to have success. Tyler Myers. Now, we talk about the mismatch on D. Myers, as polarizing a figure in this Canucks roster as there can be, how does Myers factor into this series, Randeep?
I think Myers, from a defensive point of view, is still going to be an issue. In his own zone, it's not pretty. How he features in, though, is can he give you a little bit of offense potentially? Can he produce for you? And you know, in his own zone, he still does some very good things with those pinches, and he's able to create those chances. But Reach, I think the problem with Tyler Myers is that you haven't really found out who the number one option playing alongside him is. If he jumps up into the rush, who's that safe defenseman that's going to be able to cover for him? And I know with Vandenberg, he was in a position where he had to cover for Vandenberg's mistake, but it happens the other way around a lot as well. So I like him in the offensive zone. I think most people that watch his game say, yeah, he has added that to the Canucks. But overall confidence in what he can do in the playoffs, it really depends on how consistently they're driving play. And this is where I have an issue with the Canucks, is that team defense and that back end, not only Tyler Myers, overall, they're a bit lost at times. And we saw that even against the Winnipeg Jets in a couple of moments that ended up being goals. It's not on Tyler Myers, but he is their second best defenseman. He does create chances. You're not going to have an issue with Tyler Myers, you know, on the ice in terms from a chance creation point of view. But if he gets stuck in his own end, that's not pretty.
The next time we see Oscar Fantenberg and Tyler Myers playing together, it'll be too soon.
It wasn't the Mona Lisa, let's put it that way.
If I never see those two players lining up alongside each other again, I will be happier than a pig in bleep, because they just do not mesh. And Myers, one thing, and I know Joe from Vancouver is not going to like hearing this, but he texts in 650-650. Hey, guys, I just want to say analytics are overrated. And for geeks and Mike Gillis lovers, so sick of mainstream hockey people giving them so much relevance. That's Joe from Vancouver. Thanks for the text, Joe. But this isn't necessarily analytics. This is just information. When Tyler Myers was paired up with Oscar Fantenberg, he was downright terrible. When Tyler Myers played with Alex Edler or with Quinn Hughes, he was a pretty good defenseman. And the numbers bear that out. And the results bear that out on the ice. So keep Tyler Myers away from Oscar Fantenberg, and he's going to have a lot more success. And Alex Edler, we didn't talk about this too much after the exhibition game. Alex Edler was way off the pace. Like, I hope it was just a bit of exhibition Alex Edler and Eagle just working his way into things. But if the Canucks are going to have success, they're going to need Edler to be at a better spot than he was on Wednesday night. So those are some big points. We've got Jay of the Rockland Boys. I agree with Randy about how important Petey will be getting big offense in the playoffs. But as for who needs to be the MVP of this series, it's Jacob Markstrom for me. The exhibition game against the Jets showed that some games are going to come down to who keeps more pucks out, regardless of offensive opportunities. Not always going to be able to bury those opportunities, so they'll need that strong goaltending all the way through. Markey for MVP. Jay of the Rockland Boys. You know, it's obvious, Randy, that Markstrom's going to need to have a big series for the Canucks, and he's going to have to be great. I mean, you say that about any goalie on any team going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. More so for the Canucks than it would be for other teams. But when it comes to Markstrom, I guess my hope is that the Canucks play better in front of him so that they don't have to rely on him as much. And that's me... you know, I guess hoping that we see more from the Canucks skaters because it's just not sustainable to expect your goalie to stand on his head every single night.
If the question was, let's just say hypothetically, if the Canucks make it to the Stanley Cup final or the conference final, who needs to be the MVP for the Canucks? My answer in that case would be Jacob Markstrom, because you're going to need this guy to play some very good teams and stand on his head. The way that the Canucks give up transition opportunities, the way that sometimes they lose their guys in the defensive zone. Yeah, Markstrom's going to be needed. But in this series, for me, just because the way that the matchups play out, and as we know, styles make fights, I don't see Markstrom as that number one option for me when it comes to the MVP, because I think the top six is the advantage here. The top six, to me, is where the Canucks have that ability to make that difference. And it starts with Elias Pettersson. I think with overall from, if you're talking about the totality of the playoffs, who would need to be the MVP for the Canucks to have a chance? That's Jacob Markstrom. But in this series, I see that a little different here, because if the Canucks get production from their top six, I don't think you have to rely on Markstrom as much reach. So while I understand the importance of Markstrom overall in totality, I look at this series a little differently.
Texts coming in at 650-650. We will get to them. And our poll question, Markstrom right now is leading. Who needs to be the Canucks MVP if they are going to have success against the Wild? Markstrom, 71% of the vote, 21% going to Elias Pettersson, and just 4% of the vote so far on Quinn Hughes. It's very early in the running. Get your votes in at Sportsnet 650. Also asking you at Sportsnet 650 how you believe this series will play out. Canucks in 3, 4, or 5, or simply if just the Wild will win this series. Quick thought, what scares you most about the Minnesota Wild?
I got to look at this depth that they have throughout the lineup. That's probably the most scary thing. Not necessarily that top six, but they have depth in that third and fourth line role. And it may not be the star power that you see when it comes to the degree of the Canucks, but if you're talking about coming in waves and breaking down a team, they have that depth. And specifically in that bottom six reach, but defensively as well, two key areas that could pose a problem for the Canucks.
And for me, it's Ryan Suter and Jared Spurgeon. We've talked about it a lot this week. We'll continue breaking that down. Wes Walls is going to join us after 7:30. Ron McLean after 7 o'clock. And Todd Bertuzzi after 8 this morning. It is Reach Deep in the AM. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. Keep your texts coming in. 650-650 via the text line. A big weekend as we get you ready here on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks, for the Canucks and Minnesota Wild. 7:30 puck drop on Sunday. 5:30 is when the official pregame will begin with Satyar Shah and Andrew Walker. You'll hear from Ed Jovanovsky and Yannick Hansen on all of the Canucks broadcasts through the postseason. I will be on with Bick Nizar from 2 to 5:30 on Sunday, and Joey Kenward and Jamie Dodd will take you through the morning from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is an all-day Canucks pregame here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. That's coming on Sunday ahead of Game 1 against the Wild. All right, let's take a look at the big three, the three stories we are following this morning here on Sportsnet 650's Reach Deep in the AM. Randeep, what do we got?
All right, Reach, story number three. Two Philadelphia Phillies have tested positive for COVID-19, and their series with the Blue Jays is canceled this weekend.
Yeah, and it's forced baseball to bring back seven-inning doubleheaders, which will start tomorrow. These were things of the way by past when baseball used to do this on a regular basis. It still happens in the minor leagues, but now, given that they're trying to fit 60 games into a 67-game period, you have the Phillies and the Marlins who have already missed an entire week of play. The Yankees have missed games. The Orioles have missed games. Now the Blue Jays are missing three. You're going to have to make up these games somewhere, and you don't know if this virus is going to continue to spread. I'll say this, Major League Baseball has been taking a lot of heat. They've done the right thing at least since last Sunday. They deserve some criticism too, but I'm just glad that we've seen the Marlins being given the time to try and recover and make sure that, you know, they can slow the spread before getting back into games. And same for the Phillies. They've waited this out to see if there would be some positive tests go through their clubhouse and therefore not exposing any other team. So that was at least a good decision there on behalf of Major League Baseball.
This morning's number two story, the Blue Jackets dominate the Bruins, winning 4-1. It was one of the final three exhibition games before the real matchups begin tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I mean, we're going to have hockey morning, afternoon, night for the next little while, and it's going to be great. Blue Jackets look great. Like, I don't know, be scared, Leaf fans out there. Leaf fan Steve, I'm talking to you. I know you're a member of Reach Deep Nation, but it was not pretty for the Bruins. They're probably just ramping up, and maybe they were shaking off the cobwebs because they were just as bad on the basketball court yesterday as they were on the ice.
That's right, and story number one, Game 1 of the Canucks and Wild on Sunday, right here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
That's right, an all-day pregame coming from 11 a.m. all the way through to puck drop at 7:30 between the Canucks and the Wild with various different shows. Of course, you'll hear from the big names around the Vancouver Canucks throughout the afternoon as well. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda, we are Reach Deep. There are your big three. the three big stories we are following this morning here on Sportsnet 650 Reach Deep in the AM. When we come back, chew on this. We've got to fill in the blank, have some fun with it. The Canucks and Wild series will be blank. Answer it 650-650 on the text line. I'll start with this. For anybody who's watched this movie, and I know, Randeep, you love your movie references.
Absolutely. You know that's my file.
But the Canucks and Wild series will provide more anxiety than the movie Uncut Gems on Netflix. And if you haven't seen it, I mean, watch it on Saturday, because at least your heart rate will eventually not be as rampant come Sunday night against the Minnesota Wild as it will be during the watching of Uncut Gems.
Well, Reach, the exhibition game against Winnipeg, which is a mean-nothing game, people were stressing over that. Just imagine Vancouver. I know it's been a while. I know it's been a while, Vancouver. Yeah. But that playoff feeling is coming on Sunday. It's been a while since the city's had that feeling.
So that's coming up. The Canucks versus Wild series will be blank. 650-650 on the text line. We'll bring more next. And Eastern Conference Stanley Cup qualifier predictions. That's coming as well. It's all happening. Reach Deep in the Morning on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
You're listening to Reach Deep with Dan Riccio and Randeep Chanda.
Happy morning to you. 6:31 here on Sportsnet 650. Dan Riccio, Randeep Chanda. Final day on the morning. We'll be back in our regular time slot next week. James and Perry back as well as we continue to break down every which way possible the Canucks and Wild will play out. Ron and Poco on the text line, 650-650. What's up, Ron? How's your morning going? He says, I'm going off the board with my MVP. My vote goes to Travis Green. He needs to be at his best with an inexperienced group and with playoff experience. If he doesn't dress the right lineup, he may be outcoached and could cost the Canucks the series. Your thoughts, Randeep? Travis Green is the Canucks MVP against the Wild. What do you think?
I like this take from Ron, based on the fact that it's a five-game series. You have to come in with the right lineup right off the bat, and if it doesn't work, you got to be ready to change it real quick. So Ron's got a point here. This is not a traditional seven-game series where you can wait it out potentially and not have to make changes and be patient with your group. In a five-game series where rust may be a thing, Travis Green is going to have to read his team down to a T and just make sure that he has the pulse of the team. He knows who is, you know, going to be in the right position to succeed. And also, if he's getting out coached in game one, you got to have a response. You got to have a better game plan in game two. So Ron and Poco, that's a great text and a great point, because coaching now in a five-game series, the degree of difficulty just went up.
You know, it is a good point from Ron, and I'll say that the Jake Virtanen situation probably puts even more of a spotlight on Travis Green here in this series. Am I reaching deep there, Randeep? Like, that's a big call from the coach. And I know there's a lot that goes into it. And yeah, Michael Ferland has looked better through camp, and I've even said that he provides a bigger ceiling, but it goes beyond that, you know, completely taking out an 18-goal scorer out of your lineup and forcing penalty killers or whomever into your forward group because you think that's the way to go. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Travis after some of, you know, if with these decisions that he's made and criticism. Certainly very strong criticism if it doesn't work out.
No, and that's something that I think you have to look at and say, yeah, that's a risk. Another thing is lines. How quickly do you move off those line combinations? We've seen Travis be very kind of loyal to those lines. At other times, he puts them in a blender. So you know, looking at how quickly lines are changed is another aspect of it. The Jake Virtanen, Michael Furlan discussion, yeah, that's going to be big, right? If the Canucks come out of the gate and they're scoring goals and it seems like it's a success, you got to give the man credit for making the right move. But on the other side of things, if they can't score and you got a 18-goal scorer sitting in the arena in Rogers' place and he's not playing, yeah, that's an area of criticism, and you have to go with your gut. You have to go with the right decision as a coach, and you have to base it off what you've seen from that player and Jake Virtanen and versus Michael Furlan. But that's a risk. Of course, he's going to get grilled based on the fact that there is a kid with a sample size of scoring goals. Hey, you can question commitment all you want. You can question consistency all you want. But this is a part of coaching. You have to pick a decision, and you kind of have to live with it. And at the same time, this is going to be an interesting move for Travis Green because, listen, Jake Virtanen could feature in the series, but it's when do you make changes? How patient will you be in a short series? That's what I'll be watching for Travis Green and Dean Evason, for that matter.
Our fill in the blank this morning here, Reach Deep in the AM, is Canucks and Wild series will be blank. What will it be for you, Randeep?
For me, it's going to be a bar fight. Honestly, you ever been in a bar fight, Dan?
No, I can't say that I have.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm channeling my inner Kevin Garnett here.
Tonight was a bar fight, man. You knew that was going to come in with a lot of energy. Tonight was a bar fight. You ever been in a bar fight? Ask Charles. He's been in a bar fight.
Oh, Kevin Garnett's been in a few bar fights, too. I think this series is going to be chippy. The Canucks got some heavy hitters and gritty players. We know Roussel, Furlan, Miller can play that game a bit as well. And Minnesota, they might not have the big bruisers. They got one in Marcus Foligno. But have a look at Eriksson Ek. Ryan Suter can play a chippy game. And Mikko Koivu, further down that lineup as well, he can be that guy that's hacking those cross checks. Like, to me, there's going to be some bruises in this series, and it's not going to be an easy series for the Canucks. I know some people are calling it a sweep. A lot of our Sportsnet insiders are saying the Canucks are going to win, some saying easily. I don't think so. I think this is going to be a bit of a nasty series. It's going to be chippy, and you're going to see some hacks here. So get ready for just a overall, I think, physically demanding series, Reach.
It's funny. Bar fight does fit well. It is... It's incredible how tight these two teams are. You know, from a standings perspective, they were neck and neck pretty much all year long. Certainly finished out that way. That's why they find themselves in this qualifying round series against each other. And yet, we write off Minnesota as if they are not all that great. I definitely don't feel that way about Minnesota. We'll keep breaking this down. Wes Wallace is going to join us after 7:30. Todd Bertuzzi at 8. And also at 7 o'clock, Ron McLean. And just before 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to our buddy Adam Forsyth, of course, one of the Green Men. Bring him back playoff rituals. How are you changing your playoff rituals amidst a global pandemic? And for the first time in our lives, middle of summer, dog days of summer, we have playoff hockey, essentially. So how is that changing your playoff recipes moving forward? Joey in Richmond, I like Dean Evason. But the man has not coached, even a dozen games? I'm not super worried about Green getting out coached. As long as he puts the best offensive players in a position to score, I think Canucks are good. I'll go with Petey. I'd like to see him put the team on his back for a series. Would love to see him have a Kessler versus Nashville type series. Quick thought on that, Randeep.
Hey, listen, Pettersson is my choice for the MVP in this series, and I think that example against Nashville and Kessler is a good one, right? Minnesota, from an offensive point of view, doesn't necessarily scare you, kind of like those teams back in 2011 for Nashville. But, you know, there's an opportunity there for Pettersson. If he's ready to go, which it seems like he was in that exhibition game in that first period, I could see him having a big series. On the Dean Evason front, yeah, he doesn't have the head coaching experience, but he's been in the game for a long time, dating back to his days as an assistant coach with the Washington Capitals. So there's a reason they extended him. You probably give the advantage to Travis Green, but he's young in the game as well, right? He's coached at Utica at that level in the playoffs. But Evason's been around in the game, specifically coaching, for almost 14, 15 years now. So I wouldn't sell him short here.
It's Reach Deep in the Morning. Dan Riccio and Randy Janda. We've been previewing all of the Stanley Cup qualifying round series over the week. It's now time to give you our predictions for the upcoming Stanley Cup qualifying round series. Randy, we'll start in the Eastern Conference, and we'll start with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Who you got in this series? Can Torts coach up the Blue Jackets to stun the Leafs?
This is going to be an interesting one, though, because Toronto, as we know, they've got the firepower, but they've got, at times, the brittle defense. And can Columbus's forecheck overtake them and really put the pressure on them? I see it going five, and I see the Leafs eventually winning because of that firepower. But this is going to be kind of similar to the Minnesota-Vancouver series. I expect it to be a tight one because Torts, he can coach up guys. Just think that offensive skill of Toronto is going to be too much in this series, Reach.
It was interesting seeing some of the things Columbus was doing last night. They had like three defensemen on the power play. I mean, that's where their strengths lie. So Torts is going to play to the strengths of his team. And we'll see if the Leafs can come together, because I think we all know that there's talent there with Toronto. But do they come together as a team to fight through tough moments, to fight through adversity as it happens in a playoff series? We haven't seen them be able to overcome that in the past. But I expect them to do that against the Columbus Blue Jackets here, and they'll win in four. Pittsburgh and Montreal. I think Carey Price steals a game, maybe two, but the Penguins do get over the Montreal Canadiens in five games.
Yeah, I say you're being a little generous there. I see Pittsburgh spanking them in four. The Pens have serious depth, Reach. I don't think the Montreal Canadiens can compete. Maybe they get one game. That's all I'm giving them.
Carolina and the New York Rangers. Who you got?
Oh, Rangers in a sweep. Yes, I'm calling a sweep here based on the fact that the Carolina Hurricanes, when they admitted they were scared of the Rangers, I thought the series was over. Add Zibanejad and Panarin to that mix. I'm calling a sweep on this one, Reach.
Worried a little bit about Carolina's defense, but they've got New York pretty much beat across the board outside of, you know, the best players in the series, Panarin and Zibanejad. But Carolina's just so deep, they're gonna just come in waves against New York. They'll win it in four. And finally, I got the Islanders in three over the Florida Panthers. It doesn't look like Florida's figured out any of their defensive issues. Very strange team, that one.
If they can get a little bit of league average goaltending, I still ride with the Panthers. This is a team I picked in the preseason to impress. I think Barkov and Huberdeau and that offensive talent, Mike Hoffman as well, takes them over. And I think the Islanders, as disciplined as they are, I don't think lightning can strike twice. I don't think that they can have that same type of effort that they had last year against Pittsburgh. Give me the Panthers in this one. I think Dale Tallon finally wins a playoff series again.
What series do you like? Answer that, 650-650. We'll get in your predictions as well through the course of the show. This segment of Sportsnet 650, presented by Western Forest Products. Do you like the idea of living and working on Vancouver Island? Western Forest Products is hiring various timber harvesting positions and certified tradesmen. Visit westernforest.com/careers. Coming up, we will get to some big stats ahead of the Canucks and Wild series with Stat Me Up and Scott Brown of Fifth Avenue Real Estate. It is Reach Deep in the Morning, Sportsnet 650.
Grab your calculators because it's time to Stat Me Up on the starting lineup. Here's James Cebulski, Perry Solkowski, and the Million Dollar Man, Scott Brown.
Well, we still got the Million Dollar Man, but it is Dan Riccio and Randy Janda, Reach Deep in the Morning, taking over for this week from James and Perry. Scott Brown of Fifth Avenue Real Estate. What's going on, Scott? The Million Dollar Man. How you doing?
How are you, gentlemen? I bet you're looking forward to sleeping in tomorrow.
you know what? I don't know how much we'll be sleeping in. We got I got to get the espresso ready and like 12 hours of hockey going. Yeah. So it's gonna be wild.
It's funny because I was listening to this, kept thinking of you being in the studio, and then I realized, okay, we're still not doing that. So your girlfriend listening to you must be just totally immersed in your business now.
Oh, yeah, she is just, like, cursing my name while she tries to, like, fall back asleep or whatever it is. It's just not the greatest setup in our shoebox apartment here in Vancouver, but we're still living life and enjoying the weather while we can.
I thought I heard someone yelling in the background that they might agree with that analytics guy.
Absolutely. It's Stat Me Up, Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda, and with Fifth Avenue Real Estate, Scott Brown. So you know how it works. We give you a number, and we tell you the stat that matters to us. Well, I'll start this morning. My number is the number 2.
Granlund in the middle. Koivu shooter scores!
Yeah, that is Ryan Suter of the Minnesota Wild. The biggest thing you need to worry about for the Vancouver Canucks coming up on Sunday in Game 1. 2 is the number of defense pairs that have been on the ice for more goals for than Suter and Spurgeon's 48 this year. They were also on the ice for just 35 goals against. That goal share is among the best in the league from any pairing that had more than 500 minutes together on the ice. We talk about the Wild that they have no superstars. Well, Ryan Suter and Jared Spurgeon are among the best defensemen in the league, and we continue to overlook them, and you shouldn't. Randeep, what you got?
No, it's true. And listen, this is a defensive pairing that is going to be a problem for the Canucks, and you have to see how they'll have to deal with them and the star players taking over. But I'm with you there. My stat will have something to do with that as well. But let's go to Scott for his number first.
Okay, well, I'm going to go one more than the 2. I'll go with number 3. So the last little while, I probably haven't been on my Sportsnet app as much as I usually am. But the last few days, a little bit more, and now as of today, particularly tomorrow, I have 3, and we all have 3 major sports with games and scores to track. Man, it's nearly a little over 3 months that any of us could say that. And of course, the big number 3 is 3 wins for any NHL team is the magic number to get out of the qualifying round.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to be painful waiting for the Canucks to get to those 3 wins.
Yeah.
But we'll live and die with every game starting on Sunday. I mean, the sport's coming back. It is wild how much I missed it. Like, the one thing I did notice, Scott, while sports was away, like how much time I spend watching sports. I was just kind of sitting on the couch and twiddling my thumbs like, okay, I guess I'll watch another Netflix series. Like I'm so happy I don't have to go through that anymore.
I watched The Last Dance backwards.
Randy, what you got for your number?
All right. My number is 4. Only 4 skaters have averaged more ice time in the playoffs than the Wild's Ryan Suter, who you talked about previously. Suter has played an average of 27 minutes and 36 seconds per game that he plays in the playoffs. The 4 players that have averaged more, they're pretty good. Nick Lidstrom, Drew Doughty, Duncan Keith, and Chris Pronger. Get ready to see a lot of him on the ice, Canucks fans.
Yeah, it's future Hall of Famer Ryan Suter. Going to be a tough, tough win for the Canucks to beat him over the course of this 5-game series with the Minnesota Wilds. All right, Scott, what do we got for the real estate number?
Well, you know, real estate and sports have a lot of appetite for analytics, and there's a lot of jargon, too. So one of the jargons that I'm following for July, because obviously this is the last day of July, hard to believe, it's something called days on the market, average days on the market. It's a big stat because it tells you generally how quick homes are selling. And if you've got, you know, days on the market below 30, you got a pretty good market. In Vancouver proper, and all the stats out for all of Metro Vancouver will be out probably with a long weekend. We probably won't see them till Wednesday. But I've been tracking July so far, and days on the market is 18 days. So if you want to sell your house in Vancouver and you price it right, you can move it in less than a month. That's quite remarkable given what we've come out of COVID. It's like when we hit COVID, everybody thought there was all these things going on. What happened was demand froze like a piece of ice. And with this warm weather, it's melted pretty quick. Prices in Vancouver, they're not down. They're up 4%. They're up 5.3% since COVID started. And for the year, they're up 20%. So that's an interesting little stat as well. And Vancouver is going to see about, for Vancouver proper, so far in the month, is tracking at about just under 700 sales. And that's just the proper neighborhood of Vancouver, like downtown, west side, east side. You start throwing in the North Shore and that, it looks like we're going to see the continued trend that we saw in June, where June not only outpaced May, but you expected that because that was COVID kind of recovery. But June sales in 2020 were more than June sales in 2020. Or sorry, June sales of 2020 were more than June sales in 2019. And I'm pretty sure from these indicators I'm looking at, we're going to see that same pattern in July. The July sales are going to be hotter than people thought, like the weather finally. And they're going to outpace last year's sales. So the Vancouver market is just it's a bit like a curveball. I think, who was it? It was R.A. Dickey that said it was a precocious animal.
Absolutely. Fascinating stuff. He is Scott Brown of Fifth Avenue Real Estate. Scott, thanks for the numbers this morning. We'll be talking soon.
Yeah, have a great BC day, guys.
You as well, Scott. There he is, Scott Brown, Fifth Avenue Real Estate, checking them out for all of your real estate needs. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. We are Reach Deep in the Morning. Coming up next, Ron McLean, Hockey Night in Canada. And we'll answer this question. The Canucks will win because. That's coming up next. It is Reach Deep in the Morning, Sportsnet 650.
We're just getting started, and we're not slowing down.
Into the Vancouver end. Heiskanen passes in front. Stadium with a one-timer, and he's stopped by Markstrom.
Let's reach a little deeper, shall we?
Alex Edler is the Blackhawk line on right wing. Drops off for Horvat. Back to Edler, then to Horvat on the slot. He scores! Bo Horvat in overtime!
You're listening to Reach Deep on Sportsnet 650.
Hour number two here on Reach Deep. It is the eve of the Stanley Cup qualifiers, beginning from the two NHL hubs, Edmonton and Toronto. The Canucks will begin on Sunday against the Minnesota Wild at 7:30. That's the puck drop. We will have an all-day Canucks pregame starting from 11 a.m. with Joey Kenward and Jamie Dodd. I will be on with Bick Nazar from 2 to 5:30, and then Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah, take you into puck drop. You'll hear from Ed Jovanovski, Yannick Hansen on all of our Canucks broadcasts. We are all in on your home of the Canucks moving forward. We're going to talk to Ron McLean in a moment. Do want to get to a bit of breaking news, though, from Major League Baseball. The Cardinals and Brewers game has been postponed. Jeff Passan with this tweet minutes ago. Positive coronavirus tests, that's plural, with the St. Louis Cardinals have postponed their game against the Milwaukee Brewers. A source tells ESPN, confirming the John Heyman report. Unclear how many, but to this point, positives had been limited to teams in the East, now in the Central, too. Not great news for Major League Baseball, Randeep, and more importantly, not great news for the resumption of the NFL season, or the beginning of the NFL season, or the NBA, MLS, NHL, all trying to get their regular lives back once these bubble scenarios are through.
Yeah, this is teaching us a lot. And part of this is that traveling from city to city is a dangerous game. And, you know, we talked about this last month, and I was very pessimistic that this would turn into a successful season for Major League Baseball based on that fact. You're going from city to city. Another thing to keep in mind here, I know Joel Sherman is tweeting this as well, that the Cards most likely had got that test done in Minnesota. So they were off yesterday, but the Twins played the Indians. So what does that mean for the Twins now? What does that mean for the Indians? So if this test originated, you know, positive case originated from the Cards, but they took on teams in the last 24, 48 hours. What does this mean about that spread, right? So something to watch here. It doesn't just end with the Cardinals. The Twins and the Indians might come into play here as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I do hope that they find a way to continue the Major League Baseball season. I have enjoyed it. You know, I'm a sports fan. I want to see sports happening. I don't want to see sports go back into the dark. I also am a human being, and I want things to be safe for everybody involved. And the more this goes on, the harder it is to see how that is plausible. And especially, again, not just for the Major League Baseball season, but how sports continues until a vaccine is available. That's going to be the question that we have to keep asking as we see Major League Baseball again dealing with more positive tests. The Cardinals and Brewers postponed after several tests coming positive for the St. Louis Cardinals. Dan Riccio and Randy Jada, we are reach deep in the morning here on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks. Now joining us, Hockey Night in Canada's Ron McLean. Ron, how are you?
I'm good, Dan and Randy. We'd have to start meeting this way. Funny.
Yeah. it's pretty wild times. There's been a lot of reaction to Elliot Friedman's beard. What's your take? Do you want to see the beard continue into the weekend?
For sure. I really like it. It's his summer tradition. I think it's kind of a solidarity with the way we're all going through COVID-19. I know for much of, we did that in conversation series, and for the bulk of it, I looked like Edward Scissorhands, at least in the back of my head, I know, because I was cutting my own hair for 3 or 4 months. So I'm proud of Elliot. He looks good. People are having fun with it. That was kind of the barometer. We did some hits for Hockey Central and for Sportsnet Central back on Monday, and the idea was he was going to maybe do the preseason game with it and then trim it off, but there was such fun being had with it and very little negative commentary. And I know our bosses were always a little bit sheepish about Chris Johnston was asked to keep his beard trimmed and looking, you know, like there was decorum on the set. This has been a great reckoning or awakening for our bosses, because everybody seems to love the whiskers.
That's right. Yeah. And on Hockey Night Punjabi, it seems like Elliot's kind of following what Harnarine Singh and Bhupinder Hundle started, I guess, a couple of years ago. It's in line with Hockey Night Punjabi.
Harnarine, bless his heart, has often had to tuck his beard certain ways into his shirt just so he looks like he's abiding company policy, because his beard is much longer than it often appears on TV. So that's going to be the next step for Elliot, is to go to Harnarine's trimming or at least tucking technique school.
Yeah, and it's the thing about it too, you mentioned how much fun people had with it, and that's kind of the thing right now, Ron, is just we need things to kind of to make us laugh and have fun and kind of, you know, just try to settle ourselves, settle our minds, even
it's
if it's
true,
just for
Dan.
A short while.
I'm a little worried about tomorrow, because obviously we'll have the power, and we'll see the NBA, you know, last night and tonight, you know, the power of the social justice movement and demonstrations of solidarity there, you know, there's weight to that and gravitas to the conversations. So in and around the fun that we're all seeking, and I think it's just delightful to have hockey in the middle of summer. It really is. But that's sort of on the back of my mind, is, you know, how to keep the summer tone and the diversion tone that we need right now, because we've all been through the ringer. But also be respectful and sort of sink our minds into what really is going on in the world.
Absolutely, Ryan. And you talked about that aspect of the social activism side of it. And I know the NHL has, through the exhibition games, received some criticism about not addressing it. On Saturday, do you expect to see that addressed quite significantly?
Well, I know, Randy, we're going to have Kim Davis, Senior Vice President of Social Impact from the National Hockey League, in the first intermission of the Blackhawks game. We'll have Akeem Alou and Evander Kane on in the second intermission of that game. So it's definitely going to be a bit of our conversation on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. I think the NHL did always say that they wanted Saturday to be more of their day to make their approach on the subject. So I'll cut them that for sure. I have a growing concern about, you know, the feeling I get with the Hockey Diversity Alliance is that they feel it's being lumped in with a number of other, you know, if you parcel it in with other agendas such as thanking frontline workers, then they're not having the impact that they desire. But I would say to Evander and Akeem that I think, you know, the civil rights movement, the strength of it was blacks fighting for rights, but not just for the rights of African Americans. They really fought a fight that was about the vote, was about equal opportunity, was about non-segregation in housing. All the things that they fought were actually for everyone, for people of color, for the LGBTQ2+ community, for women's rights. You know, the 13th Amendment was abolition, but after that, it was equality, and it was the right to vote was the 15th, and that's what they did. So the blacks fought the great fight on behalf of all humanity, and I don't think they should get too upset that it's kind of a multi-pronged thank you on the weekend. But that's tough. I understand, you know, the significance of the Black Lives Matter movement. I've reached out to Renee Hess over at the Black Girls Hockey Club in Vancouver, certainly spoken to Brian McBride's, Kwame Mason, lots of voices to try and I think what we went through was a phase of the experience. You know, we finally sat and listened for months on end to hear what it's like. And now we're, you know, almost at the moment where I think we're shifting from righteous anger into action. And that's complicated. And that's where you start to get different agendas. And you want to really make sure that everybody is, instead of marching in different directions, is marching as one.
It has been a very strange time, of course, and the 3.5 months pretty much with no sports almost entirely. It's really taken our focus elsewhere and to some, you know, good causes, as we've just been talking about. But how do we keep that going while, you know, getting the entertainment that sports and hockey has provided us for so long?
Right. That is the challenge, Dan. And I think, you know, that was always what we felt good about with Rogers Hometown Hockey. It was a way to do it that was less preachy. You know, I recall doing the Olympics for years after Ben in 1988. I'd say the next 5 to 6 Olympics bogged down in the topic of substance abuse with doping. And that's, it was right. It was right to keep everybody accountable and to have, you know, tutorials on what anabolic steroids were all about and so forth and to have the ethical debates. But it did kind of, and I will say that part of the reason we moved away from it is because Canada started to win medals like crazy, so we followed the gold. But it was interesting. You know, I can remember being in Australia, and within a day or so, Eric Lamaze has tested positive for cocaine, and we have a Greek runner testing positive for steroids, and we sort of lose the whole train of athletic thought and go down that other path. And it was a bit frustrating. And even up until then, you know, cultural features, we did a lot of things that were away from sport because Canada didn't do too well in the sport. Then that shifted. And that's where I think Rogers Hometown Hockey, you know, as Randeep knows, when we were in Abbotsford, in addition to telling maybe the story of Brad Hunt, who kind of briefly goes through there, at least his coaches from Abbotsford who had him over at Maple Ridge, you know, obviously Jake Virtanen and all the connections that we had to have, Dan Murphy, you know, Gersick Temple. We were able to cover the Potomac, the two young women, sensational hockey players. We were able to move into the agendas of women's rights and diversity and inclusion, and it was just right there for the taking because we were doing the hockey in the place that it, you know, means the most. So that's one area that I would say, you know, let's try and focus for the most part on the Stanley Cup in this case, but let's have vehicles such as Rogers Hometown Hockey to help us facilitate what you're talking about.
You're listening to Reach Deep in the Morning. We're joined by Ron McLean of Hockey Night in Canada. And Ron, looking forward to tomorrow, not only as somebody who'll be involved in the broadcast, but watching your broadcast as well in Hockey Night in Canada. You're in new surroundings. We saw in the exhibition games that things are looking a little different. You're using multiple setups. How has that been, and what kind of change can we expect on Saturday night? What's the viewing experience going to be like tomorrow?
Well, the only thing that we haven't seen is what Steve Mayer and the NHL are doing with all the vid walls around the arena proper, so we will get to experience that for the first time. You know, from a studio television point of view, as you saw, we are boxing the commentators, and by that I mean, you know, we're in separate boxes on the screen because we have to socially distance. We can only have two commentators on the studio desk, so in the case of my show Tuesday that I was working, Anthony Stewart and I were 12 feet apart on the desk. Elliot Friedman and his beard were over in another area, and Kelly Rudy was in Calgary, and so was Cassie Campbell Pascal. And the challenge for us was to remember to just kind of look into the camera as opposed to, I mean, Anthony was right there. He's right across the desk, and I was tempted to look at him, but the camera's focused on me. So we have to learn that. We have to remember that our contact is through the lens as opposed to eye to eye. But other than that, it felt completely normal. I mean, what we used to do, Randeep, the hot stove in the old days with Eric DeHatchick in Calgary or Jim Houston in Vancouver, that's how we did it. So it feels completely normal. We've always done the playoffs, the first three rounds at least, at the CBC building, so that felt normal. And I thought the hockey was tremendous. You know, I really feel like I compliment the players on being ready, the coaching staffs on being ready. Everything felt really good, strangely good for 4.5 months away.
Who do you like as things get started tomorrow?
Well, you know, it's funny. I really like Edmonton's 1-2, you know, punch with McDavid and Draisaitl, but I would be terrified of the Chicago Blackhawks. They have such young talent, and they have that veteran savvy and guys like Taves and Keith who would know how to devise a plan for McDavid and Draisaitl. So that's a great challenge right out of the gate, and it's the same when I look at Vancouver. I think we all know that, you know, there's a really talented team, especially the top six. Pettersson looked unbelievable the other night, and I just worry, as you would, about Zach Parise and Ryan Suter and Mikko Koivu and all these Eric Staal veterans who can devise ways to beat you in a short series. So great tests out of the gate, but I do like the Oilers. I feel that you know that star power is really their edge. And then in the case of the East, I kind of have a feeling about Philadelphia. I think Edmonton has an angel with them, Colby Cave, and I think Philadelphia has a little bit of magic going for them as well. So, you know, with the story of Oscar coming back. So I just think that those are the two teams that sort of jump out at me.
Well, I think, you know, looking at what we could expect here as well, in Toronto, you're going to see John Tortorella, of course, try to motivate his team. There's maybe a skill deficit there that they're going against, but the power of coaching in these playoffs, motivating guys, and we've seen that a bit in Vancouver here as well. These coaches have one heck of a job to do here in a short series, especially in the play-in run, where it's just being a coach at this point in these qualifying rounds, it's going to be difficult because you want to go with your gut, but you have to be open to make those changes really, really quick, don't you?
Well, and that's, you know, when I was going through the, when we do the post-mortem, Randy, it'll be so fascinating to find out, was it goaltending, was it youth, was it cohesion, was it coaching? Certainly the Blue Jackets, not only do they have Tortorella, but they have Paul MacLean, who's won a Jack Adams Trophy winner, and there's another one of those angel moments. He's got, you know, Dale Hawerchuk's in battling, and Paul gets to be in Toronto, you know, kind of near where Dale is trying to go through his second round of chemo, and that's a really powerful coaching staff, but I have great respect, unproven respect for Sheldon Keefe. So the Toronto, that's another work cut out for you kind of situation where a lot of pressure. I thought John Tavares looked really fast in the one, you know, it's one game, but he looked like he was faster than, and he's back with Mitch Marner. I think that was a really smart play by Sheldon Keefe. I feel like Tavares was a little lost without Marner. Matthews can seemingly do it with Nylander and someone else, Hyman. So that's a great series. Those, you know, the tests for Vancouver, for Edmonton, and Toronto against these savvy defenses, that's going to be just fascinating to watch.
It will be. Ron, we're really excited. All the best tomorrow. Thank you, and we'll be watching.
Cheers, Dan. Thanks, Randy.
There is Ron MacLean, Hockey Night in Canada, joining us, and, of course, a ton of hockey on the network. And, you know, you'll be on Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, of course, Randeep, as you always are. Do you have a peek behind the curtain as to what we'll be seeing there?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things going on. And to Ron's point, listen, this broadcast is going to be different. Ours is not different there as well. Based on social distancing and doing it much more responsibly, we have to kind of change things up and how many people are involved, where those people are. So it's going to be interesting, right? Like, we have one of our play-by-play folks, Harnarayan Singh, is going to be actually based in Alberta. So rather than being here locally, we're going to have a bit of a separate situation. I'll be on the desk with Mantad Pandal, who's my colleague as well. So we're just going to have to do it differently, and it's going to be fun. It's kind of what we're doing during coronavirus as well, as we're adapting. But I'm just looking forward to the hockey. We have the Montreal Canadiens versus the Pittsburgh Penguins game one going tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific. And it should be an entertaining series. You want to see the stars shine. And that series has a few of them. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Carey Price. So we're ready. You know, we've got some special segments kind of lined up. And it's just a happy moment. Hockey is back. It's been 4 months since we last had that conversation with our viewers in Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi. So I'm just looking forward to celebrating not only that hockey's back, but how we got it back, and giving a shout out to frontline workers and all those people that are involved to make it happen as well. So it's, I know there's a lot going on, and there's going to be a number of important notes that we have to hit. Black Lives Matter is absolutely one of them, but it's also a celebration of hockey coming back, Reach.
Yeah, it's it is going to hit a lot of different feels, and it should. And seeing what the NBA did last night, it's it, these are ways that we can continue the vehicles that we have been talking about for a while, and you know, continue to make that transition from words and into action. And so that's part of it. And we've seen a lot of criticism for the NHL a little bit over the last couple of days that they haven't done enough in terms of what they've shown for a protest. We'll see if that changes as the weekend and the real game start here on Saturday. Montreal and Pittsburgh, game one of that series. Sportsnet, CBC, Hockey Night in Canada, and Hockey Night in Canada Punjabi on Omni Television with Randeep and the Hockey Night in Canada Punjabi crew. You can watch it there. A full slate, 9 a.m. is when the games start tomorrow, New York and Carolina. Chicago, Edmonton at noon. And Florida, the New York Islanders at 1 o'clock. Montreal, Pittsburgh, 5 o'clock start. And 7:30, the nightcap, will be Winnipeg at Calgary. Of course, on Sunday, the Canucks and Minnesota Wild will be the late night matchup. 7:30 start. And on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks, you'll have a full pregame starting from 11 a.m. Yes, it's a all-day Canucks pregame. 11 a.m. all the way through to puck drop at 7:30. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. So lots coming in on the text line. Steven says they should shave Elliott's beard during the first intermission of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Listen, if the game goes to...
Yeah.
I would say forget the Stanley Cup Final. I'm saying if any game goes to like triple overtime and you got to fill intermissions, that's what you do.
Just grab the Clippers.
You need content? Just get the barber ready, just in case.
I love that it's become one of the national storylines. Elliott Friedman for a Canadian Heritage Minute. That's what we need now. The shaving of the beard at some point on Hockey Night in Canada would be great. All right, the Canucks will win because we're looking at the Minnesota Wild. The Canucks will win because, and the Canucks will lose because. Let's start with why they will win, Randeep. The Canucks will win because?
The Canucks will win because they have the most impact players. I'm looking at Pettersson, Hughes, Miller, and Besser. To me, that top six of the Canucks is what's going to make it happen. The high end on the Canucks roster shines brighter, and you need those guys to deliver to win that. But that's why they'll win, because they're powered by some offensive dynamos. Simply, if they play their game and if they play similar to what we've seen this year and are able to dominate, the Minnesota Wild can't compete with that.
The Canucks will win because of the Wild goaltending. Like, to use the pun, it's been wild this year. Wild in a bad way.
That's like, terrible. That's a Perry Sulkowski level of dad joke.
We've got to somehow carry the life of the starting lineup into the show. But they've been bad. I don't think there's been a worse tandem in the league for my money between Alex Stalock and also Devin Dubnyk. We know we had the texter earlier in the show that was talking about analytics and how much he hates them. From a goalie share standpoint, both were negative. Like, Stalock was negative, but he was still somehow better than Devin Dubnyk, who has been one of the worst goalies over the last couple of years. You know, the Canucks had trouble getting past Connor Hellebuyck the other night, but that shouldn't be the case. If they get chances, they should be able to score, because there is nothing that inspires confidence between Alex Stalock or Devin Dubnyk. The real wild card here is, could the Wild go to Kaapo Kähkönen in net, who is the AHL goalie of the year? He's been a really highly touted prospect the last couple seasons. Like, that could be the wild card that the Wild play that throws this series for a bit of a loop, because I don't see how they have too much confidence in Stalock or Dubnyk. Why not just give the other kid a chance?
And apparently he was their best goalie in camp as well, which is something you have to think about if you're Dean Evason. But we know how coaches operate. They generally go to the veterans first and let that happen. But I'm curious to see how Dean Evason deals with that. Hasn't named a starter yet. Reach, all of those points about the Minnesota Wild goaltending, okay, I'll listen to them, but you got to keep one thing in mind. One thing in mind.
What's that?
It's been 4 months since we last played hockey, last saw hockey. How much do you put stock into those goaltending numbers? Dubnyk, last couple of years, hasn't been good, but all it takes is three games of a goalie being good, and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't even know how much stock I put into those goaltending numbers, just because it's been 140 plus days since we last saw any player take the ice.
If Andrew Hammond could do it, so could anybody else. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. And where's respect to Andrew Hammond? He's a hockey player, NHL player, now an AHL player. I'm not, but if he did it, you know, it's possible for anybody, man.
The Hamburglar. Leaf fan, Steve. Canucks will win because they are the most explosive offensively in the series. Canucks will lose because they will always find a way to blow it. That is from Leaf fan Steve. I guess he's got the temperature of Canucks Nation with why the Canucks will lose. We'll get to that conversation a little bit later on this morning. But coming up next, talk to Wes Walls. He is a Minnesota Wild analyst, and his take on the series to come, but also a look back at the series in 2003. It is Reach Deep here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Now more of Reach Deep with Dan Riccio and Randy Janda.
Happy Friday to you. It is Reach Deep in the Morning. Dan Riccio and Randy Janda. We're getting you ready for the Minnesota Wild and your Vancouver Canucks on Sunday night. A 7:30 start here on Sportsnet 650. All of the Canucks qualifying round games and potential playoff games right here on your home of the Canucks. Wes Wall is about to join us here on Reach Deep. Randy, how do you remember the 2003 series between the Canucks and Minnesota Wild?
The first thing that comes to mind is hatred. There was a moment that, just looking back, Todd Bertuzzi comes to mind. Willie Mitchell, at that time, Minnesota Wild player. And it makes you think, as a Vancouverite, what could have been? Because they were up 3-1 in that series. It looked like they were looking ahead to the next series against Anaheim, who was the lower seed. And then all of a sudden, the Minnesota Wild just cranking it up. Like the never-say-die attitude that they had, along with that, sure, that defensive discipline. But one team kind of maybe resting on their laurels, expecting to win. The other team not giving up. And Wes Walls, our next guest, had 4 goals in that series. He was a Canuck killer in that series. So I got to say, at that point in time, the word hatred kind of stood out because both fan bases didn't like each other. You could tell the fans in Minnesota didn't like Todd Bertuzzi. I, for one, can tell you the fans in Vancouver didn't like Gabrick or Wes Walls very much because he torched them that series. Both of those guys did. So there's a hatred. You don't think of those teams as rivals so much anymore, but in the early 2000s, especially after that series, it was heated, Reach.
Yeah, and, you know, It's one of those things, like it kind of came out of nowhere, but the underdog Wild, who had that reputation under Jacques Lemaire for playing that style, you know, looking back on it and reading a little bit about the series over the last couple of days, you know, we often talk about guys not like airing their dirty laundry out in the media. But yeah, like there was some a lot of interesting quotes, especially coming out of the Canucks. Not just Todd Bertuzzi, but some of the things that Brian Burke had said in the lead up to the series as well. Just real interesting, not stuff you'd see in the league so often. Dan Riccio and Randy Janda now welcoming in former Minnesota Wild player and current analyst Wes Walls. Thanks for this, Wes. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. We're just kind of thinking back excellent. To that. That 03 series, does your hatred still live for the Vancouver Canucks or what?
No, not quite like it used to, for sure. You know, that was an interesting time in Wild history, and you know, obviously with the Minnesota Wild playing the Vancouver Canucks, I figured if, you know, once I knew that we hooked the Vancouver Canucks, that at some point here before the series started, some of the conversation about what happened in 03 in the playoffs might end up being a couple talking points before this series started. But no, my hatred for the Vancouver Canucks is not there like it used to be. I do really think that this series has a lot of interesting storylines, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Absolutely, and we'll get into those in a couple of minutes here, Wes. But what, you know, as somebody who grew up in Vancouver and was around in 2003 at that point in time, I want to kind of go into the mentality of that team being down 3-1 to the juggernaut Vancouver Canucks at that point. It felt like, and from stuff I've read since then as well, is that maybe there's an element of perceived disrespect. Do you think Vancouver, did you feel disrespected by Vancouver and the Canucks at that point specifically, just how they might have been looking past you guys potentially?
I mean, I think we did. I really don't think that started to creep in, honestly, like the disrespect factor. I don't think that really started to creep in until after we were down 3-1. I do think that they took us as a serious opponent. I mean, you heard some of the quotes from Brian Burke and some of the quotes that were coming out of the Vancouver Canuck locker room about before the series started. I mean, they were, you know, they knew who we had just knocked off in 7 games, the Colorado Avalanche, who were one of the top teams in the NHL, and you don't do that by accident. And so I think we got their attention early. They took us very serious, and they played 4 great games to get up 3-1. They really did. They played, in my opinion, they played exactly the way you need to play against a team that was, you know, really sound structurally. You know, kind of waiting for the other team to make mistakes so we could counterpunch, and that was kind of the team that we had. We just didn't have the firepower up front that a lot of these other teams had, and I thought the Canucks, and I said this even during that regular season, a lot of the teams that had success against us, the way we played, yet they had to almost play exactly the same way we played, and then they had a better chance to knock us off if they didn't respect us and they tried to dipsy doodle through the neutral zone and tried to take, you know, high risk plays. That kind of fed into our game, and I thought the Canucks really the first 3-4 games of the series did exactly what they needed to do, and they squeaked out some 3-2 really close games, and then things kind of changed after they were up 3-1. You know, the whole Bertuzzi thing here in St. Paul, walking out of the building, you know, everybody talks about that for sure. But one of the interesting things that you know, Drance and Michael Russo did that Athletic report or you know, writing about the what happened in 03, just to get a lot of the different quotes from different guys. And I mean, I learned things from just reading that article in the Athletic about things that had happened, and I completely forgot about this, and it was a true story. It was when we got back for the morning skate for game 5 in Vancouver. We showed up at the rink and we popped our head out the tunnel, and we saw 80% of the guys that didn't have helmets on for a morning skate. I do remember Jimmy Dowd coming into the locker room just saying, "Can you believe these guys? Who do they think they are?" And you know, and then a bunch of us actually, I just remember, because we'd never seen that before. We'd never seen guys not wear helmets for the morning skate. And I remember, I think I was one of them. I actually walked. He said that when he came back in the room. I was one of the probably 10 guys that walked out into the hall and stuck my head out the thing just to see if that was actually the case, and it exactly was. So. You know, it's just you're always just find different angles and to try to motivate yourself. And, you know, sometimes those things can be overblown. But I think in that scenario, I don't think it was really overblown. I do really think that they thought that we were going to roll over. And the part about not wearing helmets in a morning skate, that was 10 times more motivation than Bertuzzi telling the fans or whatever, "We're not going to be back for game 6 or anything." But and I actually had been asked these questions about 2-3 weeks ago, and I completely forgot about that scenario about no helmets in the morning skate. So anyway, anytime you don't really respect your opponent, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And, you know, they obviously we beat them pretty good in game 5 and game 6. And then game 7, we obviously got their attention back in Vancouver. And Vancouver played probably their best game of the series. And I saw some of the quotes in there from Mark Crawford too. They played awesome. I mean, our goaltender was outstanding. And I do agree with Mark when he said, Mark Crawford, when he said that we didn't have, he said that he didn't think that we had a scoring chance in the first 2 periods. And I got to tell you, I don't know if that is 100% the case, but I can tell you we didn't have more than 2. And because they were disciplined. They didn't take any
silly penalties early in the game, and they played really, really good and had us on our heels pretty much the whole second period. So we understood that we were very fortunate to get game seven out there. But anyway, it was 17, 18 years ago. A lot of great storylines coming out of that 03 series, and it was a lot of fun to be involved in.
Well, friend of the show, of course, Vancouver Canuck alumnus from the Vancouver area, Cliff Ronning was on that Wild team. I've played against Cliffy in like some pro-am tournaments, and I'm just amazed. Like he even gets up for those, you know. Like and he's still a dynamite player, but if you're beating his team, he'll still take your soul from you. He doesn't care that you're just Johnny off the street. He is the most competitive person I've ever seen in my life. He must have been going crazy after you guys won that series.
Well, it was cool. I am telling you, it was a pretty special thing to see. Just knowing Cliffy, I think at that time he might have been, well, he was 30, I think he was 38, so it was his last year in the league, and he knew he was getting, you know, down near the end, and to have another kick at the can and actually get by the Vancouver Canucks and not only just get by a team that he played for and he grew up loving and to get by them, but to have, like, Cliffy had a big impact in that series as well too. Like our power play, I think our power play guys in seven games, I think we scored 8 goals. That was unheard of. Our power play wasn't great during the regular season. Bringing Cliffy Ronning in was because we knew we had to figure out a way to scratch out an extra goal a game, and our power play was going to be how we were going to do that. Cliffy had a lot to do with that. But yeah, just it's funny after the game when you get back in the locker room and obviously we're very excited, and just that was the one thing that kind of stuck out to me in my head, just watching Cliffy Ronning work the music box and jumping around like he was 10 years old. That was something that always stuck out to me. But he was a great teammate, and not overly surprised that he's taken his men's league games pretty serious. That was Cliffy for sure.
Wes Walls joining us as we look back on that series from 2003. A lot of these same themes are kind of sticking out right now. I saw you on Twitter, and for our listeners, he is at Walls3737, covering the Minnesota Wild now and as an analyst. But you picked out a quote that came from our station. I want to play it for you, and then we'll react to it. It's Antoine Roussel of the Vancouver Canucks talking about why he thinks the Canucks have the edge in this series.
At every best position, we have the best players. Like, let's say in net, I think Markstrom is better. We have the best offensive D. I think we also have the best defensive D with Tanev and Quinius. We have the best penalty killer on both teams, Jay Beagle. Then we have like some offense spread out the lineup. So I'm really, I just see like we have a whole brand. You just got to do it now.
So there is Antoine Roussel. How did you hear that clip there, Wes?
Well, it didn't sound like he was misquoted in any of the tweets.
No, definitely not.
It's good stuff. I mean, it's just excellent stuff. I mean, I don't know how the Vancouver Canucks teammates thought about some of the things that were said back in 03, but I just, and even Dominic's comments there, like if I'm a teammate, I'm like, why, what, you know, what do you get out of that to say that other than just to get the juices flowing for the other team? That's the only thing. It's not like an NHL player needs any more fuel or motivation because we're all pretty driven anyway. But in today's world with social media, you know, after he said that, I mean, you just know that that information is going to get back to the Wild locker room. I do think some of it's overblown. I really do. And he might be right with exactly everything he's saying, but I don't think there's a whole lot of upside in saying that in the landscape of the way hockey players are wired. I don't know if baseball players are different. I don't know the other sports, but I just know hockey players, you know, that stuff is, can sometimes motivate other players. It's still going to come down to, you know, executing on the ice. That's obviously still the most important thing. You know, the goaltending situation, I agree with him. I think Markstrom, I do give the Vancouver Canucks a slight edge in this series for sure, just because that we, you know, Jacob Markstrom is he's awesome. And he just really, really is an outstanding goalie. Plays in Vancouver. A lot of the games are on later at night. I don't think the league even really realizes how good this guy is. I mean, I think the guys in the Wild locker room know exactly what they're going against. Best forward, you know, Elias Pettersson's a great player. I'm assuming he was referring to him. We've got a guy, Kevin Fiala, who's been really solid down the stretch here too, as well, who's a couple years older. I'm not 100, you know, Quinn Hughes is an outstanding defenseman, and we all recognize that he's going to be a focal point for the Minnesota Wild. Kind of plays like a rover, you know, as a player. So he's, when you're in a checking role and you're trying to shut down forwards, it's kind of easier to find guys. But guys like Quinn, the way he moves around is like a forward slash defenseman. He's a hard guy to pick up. But the Minnesota Wild have a player called Jarrett Spurgeon, who plays a solid 200-foot game. And we have Ryan Suter on our back end too. And I think Jarrett Spurgeon is by far our best defenseman too. So I think Vancouver Canucks fans will learn a little bit more about Jarrett Spurgeon and what kind of game he has too. So, yeah, just bulletin board material. It's fun to talk about. It really is. It'll come up in the Wild locker room about what Dom said. But at the end of the day, it's still going to come down to executing. And for us doing these kind of interviews, it's interesting to talk about. But not sure how much upside there really is to pointing out situations and things like that.
He is at Walls 3737. He is Wes Walls, former Minnesota Wild and current analyst. Thanks for this, Wes. Wish we had more time, but enjoy the series. Maybe we can catch up again next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care, guys. Anytime.
There is Wes Walls, former Minnesota Wild player, of course, was on that team in 2003 that upset the Vancouver Canucks. When we come back, playoff rituals, do you have them coming back into your life this weekend? It is Reach Deep in the Morning, Sportsnet 650.
You're listening to Reach Deep with Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda.
Your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. This segment of Sportsnet 650 is presented by Western Forest Products. Do you like the idea of living and working on Vancouver Island? Western Forest Products is hiring various timber harvesting positions and certified tradesmen. Visit westernforest.com/careers. Randeep, it's kind of weird because I know some people are doing different things and whatever, but for the most part, like, I'm still very much a homebody at these times. And, you know, Bonnie Henry is saying, let's not make some of the same mistakes that were made on Canada Day long weekend, this long weekend. So it's the perfect time to huddle up in front of your television and watch hockey all weekend as it returns. But how do we change our, you know, playoff watching rituals? Because you can't really go out and watch it with a bunch of friends. You can't invite a bunch of people over to watch a bunch, like, at your house. How does watching the playoffs change now?
Yeah, it's totally different this year. And I think back to, you know, the early 2000s of that West Coast Express era and even 2011. In this city, it's a communal experience. You go to a bar, you go to your buddy's place, you meet up as a group. This year, it's going to be different. I remember, you know, Vancouver Canucks fans celebrating on Robson Street, jumping in my car back in the days in the early 2000s. And celebrating on Robson or Scott Road in Surrey or South Fraser Way in Abbotsford. You can't really do that anymore because you can't be with your friends. So my question is, hit us up on the subway, or sorry, the text line 650-650 and let us know how you're going to do it. Because you want to do it responsibly. Is it going to be like via Zoom? Like, I might meet up with my friends maybe at some point in the playoffs in like a park, but it's going to be completely different than what we know, Reach, especially in this city where it used to be, all right, jump in your car, head down to Robson Street. And there's a history of that in this city. It's not going to be able to necessarily happen this time around.
Zoom chats with the boys, WhatsApp video calls. I don't know. Where else can you do video calls with multiple people? That you're going to have to do some research on that through the course of the weekend, I would imagine. It's it is strange. Like that's part of the fun of getting playoff hockey back, right? Is, you know, those people you've grown up with, people that you've long been and enjoyed Canucks games. Maybe you went through the run through the 2011 Cup Final and have a lot of memories with those people watching those games, and you want to bring that back now that the Canucks are getting good again, and you won't necessarily have that, but you're going to have to change your mindset. Is there a snack? We're the food show here on Reach Deep. Let's be honest about it. Do you have a Canucks food? Like, is there something you have to have? What's your favorite game day snack?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's like picking your favorite kid for me. Like, I like all types of food. I'm going to have to go, I'm going to be very basic in this. It's nachos and pizza for me. Like, my Super Bowl foods are not all that different from my Canuck or hockey foods. They're very similar. It's just the game day experience is so much better when you have nachos and pizza involved.
I had a Spro to start the game on Wednesday. It was great. It also stemmed the tide that I didn't have a late night snack. I just had my late night Spro. It was great.
I'm assuming you're going to be the only person saying that. Nobody else is saying that.
It is Reach Deep here on Sportsnet 650. How are you getting ready for Sunday's matchup against the Minnesota Wild? Game 1, 7:30 start on Sportsnet 650. 5:30, the pregame with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah will begin. But the pregame on the station all day long, starting at 11 a.m., all the way through to puck drop at 7:30 on Sunday. Dan Riccio, Randeep Janda, when we come back. Todd Bertuzzi, we just talked to Wes Walls about a lot of those 2003 storylines. We'll see how Bert remembers 2003 and looks ahead to this series against the Wild as well. It is Reach Deep in the Morning. Your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
It's not over yet.
Nice cross-ice pass left wing for Brock Besser. Cutting the Tampa Bay line. Here's Besser with the lane down the right wing. To the goalie! And it scores! My, oh my, it's another one for the kid, and it's a one-goal game.
It was up in Vancouver, the Brock star.
Show me what you got, little mama. Show me what you got, pretty lady.
Now more of Reach Deep with Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda on Sportsnet 650.
You reach, I teach. Lesson just starts.
Final hour of Reach Deep in the Morning. Final hour of the week for us. Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. A question from Steven on the text line, 650-650. What the hell is a Spro?
Come on, bro. You don't know what a Spro is? Come on, Steven.
Where have you been, Steve? Come on, man. Spro is slang for espresso. For those who are still wondering.
Essentially, what it's doing these days is keeping Dan Riccio sane in the short term. Long term, I'm not really sure what your health looks like, but in the short term, at least you're staying up during the show.
I switched it up. I had an Americano instead of a second Spro this morning. So.
Ah, you're gone soft. You're no longer hardcore anymore.
I had the espresso on the little BT hit that I did before 5:30 this morning. So now I got the Americano going, and it's taking me through the show. This is because it's a larger drink. I seem to consume less because an espresso you consume it quickly. It's small, and then I end up being like, man, I want another espresso later on. So this way, I hear your concerns about my future health for all the coffee that I drink, Randy. So I'm trying to find alternatives. This is you. This is you being a good friend.
Yeah, I just wish I could follow my own health recommendations every now and then, but that's a different story, Reach.
Fair enough. Vikingstad, we were talking about playoff rituals. Todd Bertuzzi is going to join us in a minute here on Sportsnet 650. My playoff ritual isn't changing. After play-in is determined, doing a hockey pool, we'll hold it on a patio instead of a closed room when I watch games at home or a pub, even if I'm watching with friends. I've never liked watching games with more than two or three. Can't focus on the game otherwise. Lena from Delta, my Canuck playoff ritual is putting Canucks flags up on my balcony. I'm known as the Canuck lady, the Canuck girl in my building. It's so nice to put them back up. I'm feeling good about the series. We've got this. Go Canucks. go, and Richard is just grateful to be watching hockey at home. So there it is. Your Canuck rituals, you can keep sending them in. 650-650 as we get ready for the Wild Series on Sunday. 7:30 start on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks. Now joining us, it is Todd Bertuzzi. How's it going, Bert?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing awesome, man. It's getting ready for playoff hockey again. Getting warmed up to the idea of hockey in the middle of summer. It's been a bit strange.
I've just hammered out every single game in 48 hours. I'm already on a hockey overdose right now, but it's been fun.
How sloppy has it looked to you? Because a couple of the other guys we've talked to have said it's looked sloppy. That was expected, but maybe they'll pick it up as time goes on.
Yeah, I thought the pace of play was good. I thought the speed was good. The passing, the neutral zone, a little bit sloppy. Understandable, though. They've been off for a long time. You're also adding in, you got bigger rosters, eh? So there's guys who haven't even played in the league that are making their debuts and all that. So, but I thought overall the speed, the physicality, I thought it was all there. I was pretty impressed for that long of a layoff, how they looked.
Well, back in 2003, I remember watching that St. Louis series, and it seemed like you as a player fed off that crowd energy, those big hits on Barrett Jackman and a few others. What do you think it'll be like to play in front of nobody and what that means for guys that are looking for that physical edge?
Yeah, definitely the fans dictate a lot of the momentum, especially in the playoffs and in series. If you have a great rink, which Vancouver always has, and actually, so does Minnesota. You can gain momentum pretty quick by your fans and all that. Watching the games, I thought the NHL did a terrific job at staging it, adding the cameras, different angles, the crowd noise and all that. I thought they did a very good job as far as the league perspective of setting up without fans. And after a while, I just kind of made me feel like world championships. With all the banners in Europe and the cars in the stands and all that kind of stuff. So I gravitated to it pretty quick and have an understand that in Europe they have the rows with the flags and the marketing and all that kind of stuff. So as the game went on, you forgot about what was going on and just focused on the hockey.
Todd Bertuzzi, our guest. We were just talking to Wes Walls, who is now a Minnesota Wild analyst, and we were looking back on 2003 and some of the storylines that were in that series between you guys and the Minnesota Wild, and he had I want to play you a clip from Wes because he said this was one thing that kind of got them going in the series.
I completely forgot about this, and it was a true story. It was when we got back for the morning skate for Game 5 in Vancouver, we showed up at the rink and we popped our head out the tunnel and we saw 80% of the guys that didn't have helmets on for a morning skate. And I do remember Jimmy Dowd coming into the locker room just saying, can you believe these guys? Who do they think they are? And, you know, and then a bunch of us, actually, I just remember, because we'd never seen that before. We'd never seen guys not wear helmets for the morning skate.
So that was Wes Walls. They were just looking for anything to get the extra motivation, I guess.
Yeah, I don't recall that at all, to be honest with you. And I'm not going to say he's a liar, but I don't remember that at all. I don't even think that would have been possible or allowed by our coaching staff. Because I always got in trouble for not having my chin strap up all the practice. So the coaching staff spent half the practice chasing me down and yelling at me to put my chin strap on. So being helmetless, I don't remember that at all, and I have a tough time seeing that happen, but maybe his memory is better than mine with what happened in the series. But, yeah, it was a hard-fought series. We had really, really bad bounces, and after watching Minnesota the other day and Vancouver the other day, and you know what, in general, what I gathered from in general overall is the goaltender is going to win the Stanley Cup, or the goaltenders are going to win the Stanley Cup. If you have a goaltender who's going to go hot in this tournament, they can carry you all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. The talent is so deep on every team. Every team is capable of putting up 2 to 3 goals. Like when we played Minnesota would try to win 1-0, 2-0. They didn't have those offensive threats like we did. So that's how they tried to play. But now with the depth of the rosters and the team and all that, teams can put up 2, 3, 4 goals, whatever. If you can get your goaltender who catches fire, goaltenders catching fire, there's a lot of teams who have that situation with the Rangers, Columbus, just come to mind, that they can carry you in this quick sprint to a Stanley Cup, can get you a win.
You listen to Reach Deep in the Morning. We're joined by Todd Bertuzzi. Todd, the grind of a playoff series, you know that it takes a toll. We all remember your battles with Chris Chelios in 02. You had Barrett Jackman and Willie Mitchell in 03. What was your mindset going into a series? Did you single out a guy that you wanted to kind of go after and agitate? Or was that attention that they gave you?
No, I was going after everyone. Anyone who wore the opposite jersey, I was trying to put them through the end boards and try to... just try to out-muscle them, use my intelligence as far as offensively on how to create time and space. For me, a lot of the playoffs, it was a lot of heavy lifting for me. There was the other opposing players' jobs were to shut our line down. But in order to do that, they had some big, heavy guys who just singled out me and tried to play me hard. Everywhere I went, there was two guys, and they weren't small guys. Willie Mitchell's not small. Chris Pronger's not small. Jackman, they had Brad Brown over there. They had some heavy lifters in every series that I played. And Colorado was foot. So there was a lot of heavy lifting that I had to do, and at times it's difficult because I was trying to create offense and all that. Instead, I was drawing two people, and it wasn't just tummy taps. It was physical, trying to destroy each other and hurt each other. And so I remember a lot of those series went like that.
It looks like Michael Ferland's getting the nod in the Canucks lineup over Vertanen, and that seems to be one of the big reasons why the Canucks coaching staff thinking Ferland can be that heavy player that can grind the opposing defenses down. I mean, it's really important because I don't think the Canucks have too many players outside of Ferland that kind of profile that way, Bert.
Yeah, he can bring a little bit of that Tom Wilson kind of physicality and toughness. He can chuck them. He's a tough boy. He can skate well. He can also play with the puck, and he can make plays and all that. He's if he can get his game with the amount of time that he's been off at a high level early, I think he can be a difference maker in a series as far as bringing that physicality and all that. But I think this is going to be the toughest. This is the toughest first round series I see in my mind. Very equal, same kind of depth. I think it's just going to be, for me, it's Vancouver's got to score first. That's going to be the key for me, is Vancouver's got to come out and get that first goal in order to put Minnesota on their heels and make them try to make mistakes. And with the youth of Vancouver and the fast legs and the speed and all that, the first goal is going to be so crucial in every single game in order for them to come out of this win. And then obviously goaltending, you get solid goaltending and you get that first goal, and then you try just to wear them down physically and in their zone by cycling the puck and then just making it tough for their players. I think that's going to be important for Vancouver to come out of the series. But to my man, it's really a coin flip.
You're listening to Reach Deep in the Morning. We're joined by Todd Bertuzzi. Todd, Michael Ferland looks like he'll be drawing in. Jake Vertanen is on the outside looking in right now. Vertanen, you've talked a lot about him in the past with Perry and James. What does he need to focus on from here on out to get back in that lineup?
Man, I don't know. I don't know. And he played well this year. Like, he really did. He was on pace to get 20 goals. He was skating great and all this. It just seems... Every time I'm on this show, at least once or twice a month, it's something about what's going on with Vertanen. And I couldn't answer that. I don't know. I'm not in the inner end with them. I'm very good friends with Travis, but we're just friends. We don't talk about his personnel and all that. That's not the relationship I want with him. And I'm not looking for stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. That's a tough person not to have in your lineup, a big body who can skate and all that. So obviously something that the coaching staff saw or didn't see is making him make this choice. And Travis is, he'll live and die by his choices. He feels that he knows the heartbeat of the team best. And if this is what they're looking for, then I don't know. I don't know if he needs. I can't answer. I don't know if he needs a change. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the situation. It's tough to even analyze on that, other than knowing that he's a pretty. He could be a very key player that's going to be sitting up wearing a suit when he should be wearing his equipment.
There's a lot of Canucks here that are about to play in their first, you know, it's not technically the playoffs, this series against Minnesota, but it's a playoff series, essentially. Do you remember your first playoff game? I believe it was against Colorado.
Yeah. I remember how, oh my God, this is not like the regular season. It was so fast, so intense. Every shift was lived and died by. The fans were hooing. It was like nothing I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, man, you want to be part of this every single season, man, because there's nothing better than playoff hockey. And albeit this is a tournament, Stanley Cup, that they're going for, it still has that buildup and that feel of a playoff round for this one that's coming up. Even though it's a best of five, I expect to see just outstanding competitiveness from both teams and understanding the importance of getting through. And like I said, in these tournament, man, there's no favor. If someone can go on a run with a hot goaltender, they can make their run all the way to the finals. So I'm looking forward to it. And I thought that how the NHL handled it with being in the bubble, the rinks that they're in, I thought that everything went off very, very well, and I'm hoping it continues that and everyone has good health and enjoys the show.
Well, Bert, you mentioned about how everything is so intense in the playoffs compared to the regular season. You know, we hear players say, oh, you just got to block out the outside noise. How much of that is actually going on in the playoffs? Are players paying attention to more than they lead on?
No, not really. You're just focused on the task at hand and just the emotion around the rink, just driving. If you're a home team, just driving from your house to the rink, you know it's playoff hockey, especially in the Canadian markets and in a lot of the American markets. But for sure in Toronto and Montreal and Vancouver, I can't speak for Calgary. I was in the playoffs, and I knew it was going on when I was playing with them too. But it's just you can feel a buzz when you're 10 minutes away, and then you get to 5 minutes away from the rink, and then all of a sudden you see people in jerseys and the crowd and the great weather and all this kind of stuff. Like I said, man, there's no better playoffs in the world than hockey. And that's one thing I definitely miss not playing anymore, is just that buildup of playing in the playoffs. And then on the road, you have a suite where everyone hangs out and you're preparing. Sometimes I believe we over-prepared. We had too much information on teams when we just played them 8 times. So I'd sit there and like, why are we watching this again? Why are we going? We already know what they're going to do, but they tried to make sure that there was no stone unturned, and that's the intensity of playoff hockey.
Bert, appreciate the time, man. We'll be talking soon. Thank you.
Yeah, everyone enjoy the show. I think it's going to be a good weekend, so everyone be safe and take care, and I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. There he is, Todd Bertuzzi, former Vancouver Canuck. Joining us here on Reach Deep and shutting down whatever Wes Qualls was saying. Never happened. The helmet thing never happened.
He said, I'm not calling Wes Qualls a liar, but that's not how I remember it. And he specifically said, Reach, that he used to get in trouble for having a loose chin strap. So no helmet? Coaches probably wouldn't have let him get away with that one.
Yeah, so interesting stuff there from Bert. A lot of good stuff from Bert as well on what he's seen from some of the games coming back and what he expects in this series. And, you know, we looked at our Canucks MVP for the series, and we didn't talk too much about Jacob Markstrom, but Bert mentions, like, if you've got a goalie going, especially in a best-of-five series, I mean, we've seen goalies take over full series, best-of-sevens. And a best-of-five, if your goalie's hot, and we know when Markstrom's on, he's about as tough as there is to beat in the league. If you have your goalie going in a best-of-five series, could be a good night for the opposition pretty quick.
Yeah, and it's going to boost the confidence of your own team as well, right? Like, having a goalie back there that you know you can take chances, you can pinch because the guy behind you is all of a sudden he's that rock solid. And we saw that all season long with Jacob Markstrom. If it's that Jacob Markstrom, in the series against Minnesota, yeah, the Wild are going to be in trouble. But also at the other side of things, that the other goalie you have, you know, that you're playing against is doing that. The confidence leaves the team immediately as well. So I think the Canucks from a, you know, there is Dubnyk, Stalock, you're not really sure who's going to start net there. And there seems to be a lack of confidence there for the Wild all season long because of that goalie situation. They have a decent team in front of them. That goalie situation has really undercut their confidence. The Canucks have been opposite, even though their defense in their own zone has been at times not very good, Reach. Transition defense, not very good. If Jacob Markstrom starts off a series fully confident and he's bailing out his team and he's making those saves, watch out. That's the shot in the arm that you need. We saw it recently with Connor Hellebuyck with the Jets. That's what he does for them. Markstrom can do that for the Vancouver Canucks.
And, kind of carry them all the way to a Stanley Cup final. Tough to see, but it's one of the great elements that this Canucks team has on their side right now. You can answer our poll question at Sportsnet 650. Who do you think will be the Canucks MVP in this series against the Wild? Who do they need to be their MVP in order to have success against Minnesota? Jacob Markstrom running away with the poll at 75% of the vote. Dan Riccio and Randy Janda. Let's look at the big three, the three big stories we are following this morning. And there's a lot going on, Randy, and it's Major League Baseball very much in doubt once again with more coronavirus concerns.
And that is story number three, more positive tests in Major League Baseball. This time it's members of the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cards-Brewers game has been postponed today.
That's right. And now, if you look at teams postponed or teams not playing, it's about 20% of the league now. You have the Cardinals and Brewers. You have the Blue Jays and the Phillies. The Marlins are also not playing right now. So this is becoming a growing concern. The Cardinals and their positive tests, they had just played the Minnesota Twins on Wednesday. So now there's questions about the Twins. Will they have to go into isolation because they may have been exposed? Lots of questions. At the end of all this, look, I want baseball to continue, okay? I'm a sports fan. I can't put that aside. But without a bubble scenario, it seems very difficult to pull these things off. And as much as baseball continues to try, as we saw in March, if there's one player, Rudy Gobert, you can almost connect him to basically every team in the NHL and the NBA, based on how those buildings are being used and different things like that. But once you have one positive test, the dominoes can fall pretty quickly as you're trying to go through a season traveling and going from city to city.
You got to do it responsibly, and Major League Baseball has not really done that, going city from city. And let's see what the NFL does going forward. Do they change their plans as a result? Today's number two story: Columbus dominate the Bruins, winning 4-1. It was one of the final three exhibition games before the real matchups begin tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's what we're looking ahead. I got to say, Randy, like yesterday I was watching some of the hockey, and I was like, man, this preseason feels long. Can we just get the real games going? I'm a spoiled brat already, which is to nobody's surprise who listens to Reach Deep on a regular basis.
True.
But yeah, like I'm like, by the end of it yesterday, I was just like, okay, like let's get real games going now. I'm ready for it.
And speaking of real games, game one of the Canucks and Wild is on Sunday right here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
And it's going to be a wild day. No pun intended. I got to stop doing that, man.
11 a.m. Honestly, like, I think you've honestly taken on Perry's personality since you've been doing the morning show.
I say Wild a lot, I've noticed, as the Canucks are ready to go up against the Minnesota Wild. I have to change my vocabulary a little bit, or at least broaden it to a certain extent. 11 a.m. is when our pregame is essentially starting. It's an all-day Canucks pregame here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650, starting at 11 a.m. Joey Kenward, Jamie Dodd, Bick and I, Bick Nazar and myself will take over at 2 o'clock till 5:30. Satyar Shah and Andrew Walker begin the official pregame show at 5:30. Puck drop at 7:30. It's wall-to-wall Canuck coverage here on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Vancouver Canucks in Game 1, a best-of-five series against the Minnesota Wild. We've got more texts coming in here on Sportsnet 650. We'll get to them. And also, got to give you our predictions for the Western Conference and the wild card series that we're about to see in the West, including the Canucks. You can send in your predictions, 650, 650. What do you think will happen between the Canucks and Minnesota Wild as the series begins on Sunday? It is Reach Deep in the Morning. Back in a bit on Sportsnet 650.
Now more of Reach Deep with Dan Riccio and Randy Janda.
.831 Dan Riccio, Randy Janda here in BEA, beautiful Vancouver. We've got sunny skies expected today, a high of 26 as the heat continues here in our fair city. Dan Riccio, Randy Janda. Sunny skies ahead of the series against the Minnesota Wild. Randy, is that a good omen?
I'm not going to get into my predictions right away, Reach, but I think it is. I think it is. Let's just leave it at that for now.
We've got a lot of texts coming in. Jordan from Saskatoon. My new thing will be setting up a television on the deck or in the gazebo and watching the Canucks while sipping on some adult bevvies and floating in the pool in the backyard. Loving these summer hockey games. Sounds like Jordan in Saskatoon has got his Canucks game day mindset going. What are you feeling ahead of the start on Sunday here on your home of the Canucks? You can hear all of the Canucks games on Sportsnet 650 with Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch on the call. Every single one on your home of the Canucks starting Sunday, 7:30 puck drop for Sportsnet 650. Just heard Yannick Hansen will be a part of our Canucks broadcast there in the update with Adam Forsyth. And Todd Bertuzzi was pretty poignant in his thought on Jake Virtanen as well, in that he doesn't see why Jake should be out of the lineup. How can you take that offense out of the lineup? He had a good season. What more can you expect from a player like that? It's the debate that will surely rage into Sunday, Randeep. But what are the Canucks risking without Jake Virtanen potentially in the lineup Sunday?
Well, the one thing you'd miss from Virtanen not being in the lineup is speed and bringing that offensive upside, right? Michael Ferland has shown offensive upside in the past, 40-point guy in the NHL. That doesn't come easy, but do you get that speed? If you need speed throughout the lineup, specifically in the bottom six, that's where Jake Virtanen, you miss him. But here's the thing with Jake Virtanen. Travis Green said it himself. Vertanen's at his best when he's flying, when he's skating hard. Do you get it consistently enough? And if the Canucks win game one, and all of a sudden you have enough of an effort from everybody, it's not a talking point. It isn't, because the name of the game is winning. But yeah, on the other side of things, if you drop game one and that bottom six doesn't look good, you know that conversation is going to be loud, because at his best, Virtanen can give you goals and he can skate like the wind. The question is, does he do it often enough?
Well, you know, if the Canucks offense goes to sleep, you know, there's going to be fingers pointed at Elias Pettersson and JT Miller and Brock Besser and the like, but fingers will be pointed at Travis Green as well for trusting in Michael Ferland after such a long layoff. I know he's been a great story, but it is a risk, you know, going with that player after such a long layoff instead of the one that has shown 18 goals through the course of the season. I don't disagree with the way that the Canucks have gone in this scenario, but I'm thinking about, you know, how things play out over the next little while and how that narrative changes very quickly. And the biggest thing here is the idea of forcing Brandon Sutter or Louis Erickson into that fourth line because you need them to be penalty killers. And you can't use Jake in that spot because you need those guys to play on the penalty kill, and you don't trust Jake to play in a special teams role like that. that's the bet Travis is making. He sees his team has, in his eyes, significant or specific roles for each player. And right now, in the role that he needs Jake to play, Michael Ferland, he feels he's getting more out of that role for Michael Ferland than he is out of Jake Virtanen. And that's the bet that the Canucks are making right now. You can disagree with it, but that's how it plays out. They feel better with Michael Ferland playing that role than they do Jake Virtanen. It's as simple as that.
Listen, I can't disagree with that either, though, because if you're talking about who is more valuable in a playoff series, I'm going to say a healthy Michael Ferland to me is going to be more valuable, because that means he could potentially score, but he brings that physical element. In the bottom six, even beyond that, in the fourth line, it's you're going with what you know. And Travis Green knows Brandon Sutter. And listen, I criticize Sutter's game. I'm not really sure where he fits, but you're not going to be trying to experiment with Jake Virtanen being a penalty killer in a qualifying series. That's not going to happen. Those players have their defined roles and they have to excel at that. Now, to me, it could be a question of Louis Erickson or Brandon Sutter, but Brandon Sutter for Jake Virtanen, that doesn't make any sense. No coach is going to experiment with a new guy in the PK or in a bottom six, fourth line role when he hasn't done that pretty much all season long. That's not how coaching works. You're not going to try something like that in a essentially do or die games here, because it's a five game series reach.
Our poll question, let's just quickly wrap it up here on Sportsnet 650. Who will be, or who do the Canucks need to be their MVP if they're going to have success against the Minnesota Wild? 76% of you saying Jacob Markstrom. I'm shocked that Quinn Hughes got so little of the vote here. We even got a couple of tweets in response. Where's Besser? Another one, Bo Horvat. That's the thing. Like, the Canucks do have multiple options now, and that's part of the reason they find themselves in this spot. But it's that depth in their high end that's going to lead them. The reason I chose Hughes is I think the D battle in this series is going to decide it eventually. And Ryan Suter, Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, Matt Dumba, it's one of the better top fours in the NHL, bottom line, period, end of story. Canucks are losing that battle. How do they close that gap? And it starts with Quinn Hughes having a huge series.
And that's where we disagree, because I think, listen, Quinn Hughes is valuable. We know how important he is, how he's changed the back end. And without a doubt, he is the best defenseman on this team. There's no other argument. But Elias Pettersson and driving that offense, putting up points against Minnesota, who is a underdog when it comes to the top six. There's no doubt about that. Pettersson can flex on this team. He's got the confidence. He's got that skill from a playmaking point of view and a goal-scoring point of view. So I'm actually voting Elias Pettersson here. I think if the Canucks want to have success, they need their best offensive talent to flex on the Minnesota Wild, because that's their biggest single advantage. That's where they are supposed to, you know, dominate the Minnesota Wild. And you look to Elias Pettersson to do that. So that's, for me, it's him being the MVP. If they're going to be successful in the series, their best offensive talent has to be exactly that.
Let's start going into our predictions. Let's start right now with the Vancouver Canucks and the Minnesota Wild. Our predictions for the Stanley Cup qualifying round series in the West. Earlier in the show, we went to the East. Viking Stad, here's how I see the series. Their high-end guys, aside from Fiala, are all vets. We have the youth and the excitement. If Canucks can be patient during stretches where Wild's tight systems pin them down, they're going to win the series. Easier said than done, as systems teams have always caused the Canucks trouble. And earlier in the show, we got one from James. He has the Canucks in four, and that's where I am, Randy. Canucks in four for me. Look, there's a lot of uncertainty. The games were sloppy over the last couple of days. I'm going to go with the best talent in the series, providing game-deciding moments in what I think is pretty much a neck-and-neck series. So that leans me towards the Canucks. Guys like Pettersson, guys like Hughes, even Besser and Miller, and certainly Markstrom in goal, they're going to be the guys that show up in the game deciding moments. And that's where the series is going to be won and lost. Canucks in four for me.
Okay, I got the Canucks in five here because I think this is going to be a tight, very tight series. Bit of a bar fight. You're going to have some grittiness. You're going to have that sandpaper element coming from both teams. And this is going to be a steep learning curve for the Canucks young guns. They have Hughes. They have Pettersson. And I know they're saying all the right things, but playoff hockey is different. It's played differently. They're going to have that steep learning curve. Eventually, I see the Canucks winning because of that top-end talent. But there are still question marks with this team when it comes to that transition defense, when it comes to puck management and not losing assignments in your own end. Those are real questions with the Canucks. I still have them winning, but it's going to be a tough one.
We'll get to as many texts as we can. 650-650. Who do you think will win the series, Canucks or Wild? Why do you think who will win the series is also pertinent to this conversation? All right, let's keep ripping through the others, Randeep. The Nashville Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. Who you got?
I'm going here. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going Coyotes in five. Yes.
Oh, come on.
They take it. Your boy, Taylor Hall. Yeah. He's going to get paid. He got lowballed by the Arizona Coyotes in their original meeting. I think, and I'm not a huge fan of the Nashville Predators. Roman Josi's one hell of a player, but I think they're two $8 million men in Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. Those are not good investments for your top two centermen. I think the Arizona Coyotes pull this off and beat the overhyped Nashville Predators.
Nah, man. The Preds finally healthy. You know, Forsberg and Arvidsson and all these guys were out through different points of the year. Preds are finally healthy. Preds in four. Arizona stinks. Unless Darcy Kemper really, like, stands on his head, Nashville's going to win the series. They're the better team front to back. And Taylor Hall probably going to go missing again like he does when the games get tough as usual. Edmonton and Chicago. I've got the Oilers in three. That's right. I think Chicago... even though this is a bit of a lifeline for them and they looked pretty good against St. Louis the other night, I think Chicago is just not good enough to be in a series like this. Draisaitl and McDavid take over.
Okay, but Chicago also has Patrick Kane who can take over a couple of games himself. Against another team, he could maybe even win the series, but for me, it's Edmonton, but that disrespect you're showing Chicago, I think that's way too much. I have this one going to length, too. Five games, eventually the cream rises to the top. But Chicago puts in a good fight. Taves, Kane, not easy to take down.
And the last series we're previewing here and predicting, Calgary, Winnipeg. Who you got?
I got Winnipeg in this. Yes, Connor Hellebuck should be scaring the Calgary Flames. This guy is locked in. And Calgary, until they can show the world that they can actually do something in the playoffs, Reach, they haven't won a playoff series in a very, very long time. And that's where I look at this Winnipeg team. They can score. They got good goaltending. In some ways, they can outscore their problems well with that top six. Give me the Winnipeg Jets in this series. I'm selling that Calgary Flames stock.
The Jets are still giving up way too many chances. We saw it. Connor Hellebuck's got to keep standing on his head every single game. He'll win a couple. But Johnny Gaudreau finally breaks out of his playoff slump here. Nick Ehlers stays in his playoff slump. Calgary wins it in five for me. There are your Western Conference predictions for the Stanley Cup qualifiers. Games are starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow on Sportsnet with the Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes. The Hockey Night in Canada feature will be Montreal at Pittsburgh. You can see Randeep, Hockey Night in Canada Punjabi on Omni and, of course, on CBC as well. They'll carry the game and on Sportsnet. Sunday is the big one. Canucks and Wild at 7:30 on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360. 5:30, the official pregame starts, but here on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Canucks, it's going to be an all-day pregame starting at 11 a.m. I'll be on with Bick Nizar at 5:30. All right, Password Extra, where we give you the chance to get into our Weekend Ready Friday Zoom chat for later this afternoon. Trivia, prizes, you want to join us, we know you do. Randeep, what is the question?
Today's question, pretty straightforward. Which two Canucks players are tied for the most goals in franchise history in the playoffs, not regular season, but career playoff goals. Which are the two Canucks player that have the most in franchise history?
Answer that question, 650-650 via the text line, and you will get an invite into our Weekend Ready Friday Zoom chat for later on today where we play trivia. You get welcomed into Reach Deep Nation, and you potentially have the chance at prizes as well. So get your answers in, 650-650 on the text line. We'll wrap up the show next. Reach Deep in the AM on Sportsnet 650.
You're listening to Reach Deep with Dan Riccio and Randeep Chanda.
Final segment for Reach Deep in the morning. It's been a pleasant week getting you on your morning commute. Hope you've enjoyed it. We are normally on 1 to 4 Sportsnet 650. You can join us there next week and become a card-carrying member of Reach Deep Nation, Randeep.
Everybody wants that card, Reach. It's we've gotten a lot of emails, a lot of DMs saying, can I have a card? They haven't been made yet. It's in the works.
Do you want to become a card-carrying member of Reach Deep Nation? Well, you got to play Password, and we've got Password Extra. Who's getting into our Weekend Ready Friday Zoom chat today, Randeep?
Well, the question was, which two Canucks players are tied for the most playoff goals in franchise history? Torgi and Langley with the correct answer. Trevor Linden, 34 goals in 118 games. And the other Canuck, yes, Pavel Bure. Listen to this stat, 34 goals in 60 games. That was a pretty good goal scorer.
Pavel was unbelievable. The Russian Rocket is dearly, dearly missed. Will we ever see another player like him? Probably not. He was just so unique and dynamic in his own way. So again, yes, a big weekend coming up here on Sportsnet 650. We are your home of the Canucks. Scott Rintoul is going to take over from here, and we'll have Canucks coverage throughout the day here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650, on Sunday, game day, and against the Wild, 7:30 puck drop. But we'll start with our all-day pregame coverage at 11 a.m. with shows throughout the day getting you set for the Canucks in Minnesota Wild. The puck drop at 7:30. All of your Canucks games in this restart, in this qualifying round, and the playoff games that potentially come after it here on Sportsnet 650, the only spot in town. Quickly, participation ribbons.
You didn't win, you didn't lose. Thanks for participating.
My ribbon today goes to all those long walks we've been taking over quarantine. Without sports, we've been going for walks. Say goodbye to those. With hockey coming back, we're all planning our asses on the couches starting tomorrow.
That's exactly right, and I can't wait for it. Also, Major League Baseball, I'm hoping they can keep this thing together, but it is looking doubtful. They are in trouble right now. Brewers and Cardinals game tonight postponed. That now makes it about 20% of the league that is on the shelf with postponements due to coronavirus concerns. I hope all come out healthy and the baseball season can continue in a safe fashion in some way. But they've got to get things together and relook at their plan at how they can do things better as well. Dan Riccio, Randeep Chanda, been a blast on the mornings here with you. James and Perry are back next week. And we're back in our regular time slot, 1 to 4. Hope you'll join us then. Reach Deep in the AM, signing off on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.